three pastors here. There are two other preachers, and there's two L platers beside me. And there goes my water all through the pulpit. It's all right. So if you see some stuff leaking out the bottom, it's not sweat. It's my drink. Psalm 119. Probably one of you young guys should top that up again. Serve God so that your days may be long upon the land. I think this preaching's going to knock years off my life. Never been so nervous. All right. Psalm 119. See who can, we'll spend, give 100 guesses, see who can guess which verse we're going to speak on. Right, before we go anywhere, let's pray and commit this message to the Lord, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come here and gather around your word. We thank you, Lord, that we can sing the hymns of the faith. Lord, we thank you for saving us. Thank you for our salvation. We thank you for that. Lord, I pray that you'd help me with this topic tonight. Lord, that you give me tactfulness, that you give me grace. And I pray that you'd help me not to say anything you wouldn't have me to say. I pray that you'd hide me behind the cross of Calvary, that anyone who sees anything will see the Lord Jesus Christ shining through. And we give you all the praise and glory for what you do, and we ask this in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Tonight's subject is a subject I don't want to talk about. It'd be a lot easier if I would speak on pride or humility or tithing or just something, just stocks down to basic. But the Lord put his finger on this thing, and I argued with the Lord. I said, no, I'm not ready for this one. I'm not old enough. I'm not this. I'm not that. Try to get around it. But the Lord said, no, have a look at this one. Verse 9 of Psalm 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Now, I was thinking about this and I thought, no, you know, I've grown up, obviously, stating the obvious, little boy, 7, 8, 9, 10. Started out when I didn't know much about anything. Started gathering a bit of information, looking around in the world and learning things. 17, I had a car, I had my license, I had freedom, I could go do what I wanted, in a sense, and some, even though I lived in the Roffle family, I still had chances to get out and about. And now at 26, married, and with a little baby daughter, I still said, Lord, but someone like Pastor, I mean, Pastor's down the track, you know, I'm here, here's a 7-year-old, here's, you know, someone who's 12, here's when I was 17, down the track, you know, there's his dad and pastors, he's like down there in the future somewhere, you know. They know more about this stuff than I do. The Lord put his finger on it, and no matter how much I squiggled and squirmed, he said, speak about this. Psalm 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. How shall a young man or a young woman keep clean in this filthy world? We live in a filthy society. I mean, in Mount Gambier, I'm not talking about Melbourne, not talking about Adelaide, I'm just talking about, let's just stick right here at home. Outside the walls of this church we go around, we live in a mess. There's a mess out there. I want to speak about moral purity, social cleanness. If you want a title, you can call this Living Purely in an Impure World. Social cleanness. Some girls think, well, just romancing about guys in my mind doesn't affect anyone else socially. First problem with that is you've got to bring every thought into captivity. Philippians 4:8 says, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are just, true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report. Any virtue, any praise, think on these things. The guy says, oh, well, I just look at girls and stuff. Doesn't really affect anyone else. First problem with that is Matthew 5:28 says, whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her committed adultery with her already in his heart. The problem with both problems for the guy and for the girl, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Tonight, it's not just looking at young men. I don't want to focus on, if you're a young man, this applies to you. If you're a young woman, this applies to you. If you're an older man, the same principles still apply. If you're an older lady, same principles still apply. No one's getting out of this one, so listen in. We live in an impure world. Galatians 5 verse 19. Have a look there. I mean, this is nothing new in one sense. You know this. But I want to have a look at it again. Look at it from the Word of God. By the way, I'm a learner preacher again. And Pastor Charlie Williams said to me, preach the Word. He said to me this afternoon, make sure you preach the Word. So I took that as a bit of a challenge and tried to, all my points, I've tried to get a scripture behind them. And one or two, I think I dropped them because I couldn't, in the time I had, I couldn't find a scripture verse to back them. I knew it was a biblical principle. I couldn't find a scripture, so I just left it out. So by God's grace, I'm trying to put scripture behind these things. Galatians 5 verse 19 says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. This is rampant, and this is everywhere in our world. The word lasciviousness there has the idea of, if I can find in my notes here, loose living, sorry, looseness, irregular indulgences of animal desires, wantonness or lustfulness. You know, we see this everywhere in our world. We see it on the back of the men's deodorant cans. We see it on the back of the advertising brochures, some lady in a swimsuit advertising lawn fertiliser or drain cleaner. We see it on the deli walls advertising some food. We see it at the service station in the magazine racks. We see it discussed in the workplace quite openly. Immorality. We see it plastered through the library in romance novels. It jumps off the wall in lunchrooms and workshops. It oozes from the radio on nearly all stations. It's on the back, the front and the sides of cars and trucks. It's tattooed on people's arms and legs. It's everywhere. Insanity's music shop down here in the mall. It's on the back and front of t-shirts. It's on mobile phones. It's in waiting rooms. It walks up and down our main street. It breeds in our pubs. It's rampant in our nightclubs. It's in the lower class of people. It's in the upper class of people. Now again, we even specialise in a glass front shop to sell the filth to those that walk off the street. It's spread through every shop that sells or hires videos or DVD players, and I haven't even mentioned the computer, television or the internet. Immorality is rampant. And the world paints it up as such a wonderful thing. The world paints it up with all cream and splendour and makes it enticing for the young man and the young woman and even the older men and the old women in our world and in Mount Gambier. I read this illustration in a book by Jim, I think his last name's Binney, who actually, his book is actually called Living Purely in an Impure World. And he likens the way the world portrays pornography and the world portrays immorality as a bowl of manure, nice fresh bowl of manure with some nice whipped cream on the top. And how many people in our world are digging into that, just hungrily, just wrapping straight into it, and get down to the bottom and find out that they're digesting that waste. Been something I've grown up with and struggled with since I was about 7 or 8 years old, started opening my eyes up to what's going on in the world and looking in the Bible and seeing that indeed the works of the flesh are manifest. Adultery is everywhere, fornication is everywhere, uncleanness, lasciviousness, it's rampant. I said, Lord, someone else has got to speak on this topic, someone else. I want to have a look at half a dozen different points, and these aren't every single point there is, but I believe there's some helps and there's some things that the Lord's dealt with in my life, and I want to bring them out. If you've got a pen and paper, I've got six points, all starting with letter S. It's unusual for me, because I've got six things that, I looked down and went, there's an S there, an S there, an S there, an S there. So, I want to have a look at six different points that'll help us to live purely in such an impure world. The first point is see. There are some things that we need to see. Proverbs 4 and 5 and 6 talks about the strange woman. It talks about understanding is one of our great defences against evil. So I want to see two things about the physical relationship between a man and a woman. Two things. Go to Hebrews 13, 4. Hebrews Two things. I want to see Hebrews 13:4, the Bible says, marriage is honourable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. I want to see two things. That first of all, outside of marriage, the relationship between a man and a woman is sin. We need to see this. That outside of marriage, it's immorality. It is wrong and it's wickedness. The Bible says, whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. That's the negative. But I want to see the positive of this side too. That inside of marriage, it is sacred. Outside of marriage, it is sin, but inside of marriage, it is sacred. Do you know that God made marriage? God sat down, as it were, in our imagination, and he built marriage. He invented it. He designed it. Caleb and Deborah's kiss at the wedding yesterday was a big highlight of the day. God designed that. God made that. God sat there and said, this will be a good thing.
Yeah.
And so we need to see and understand that this whole idea isn't just some dirty, filthy thing. We understand the devil has taken that which is holy and sacred and God-made, and he's given it to the dogs in our society. He's taken something which is pure, which is God-blessed, which is something is a wonderful thing, and he's soiled it and dirtied it and given it to the dogs. Have a look around outside and see what the devil has done with something that God has made so holy. Outside of marriage, it's a dirty thing. But inside, it's holy, sacred, clean, and right. God says it here, Hebrews 13, verse 4. Do you know the best marriages in the world are good, godly Christians? Have a look out there in the world, and the world is out there, and the devil has taken this thing and butters it up and creams it up through magazines and DVDs and the internet and everything out there in the world, and draws young men and women to this stuff saying, this is going to be the ultimate, this is going to be the lifestyle, you won't get this pleasure anywhere else. But he's wrong. Marriage is honourable and all, that's where God's blessing is. The best marriages in the world are pastors and youth workers and good, godly Christians. That's where it is, not anywhere else. Not the TV stars this world, the porn stars this world. All their lives are either wreckages or they're very soon to be wreckages. So the first tip in living purely in an impure world is to see these things. What's outside of marriage is sin. It's the way God sees it. What's inside of marriage is sacred. Number two, I've got surrender. You either need to, this whole thing here applies to saved or unsaved, right? As in, you need to either surrender, right? Let me go back and get a drink. I'll get my thoughts together here. Point number two, surrender to God. To live purely in an impure world, a young man or woman, an older man or woman, must surrender his life to God. Or, if he hasn't surrendered his life to God, he needs to get saved. Okay? If you're not saved, you can't live purely in an impure world. It's impossible. It's not going to happen. All right? You need to get saved. You need to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Saviour. Realise that he paid the sin debt for you on the cross of Calvary some 2,000 years ago, and accept him as your personal Saviour. Otherwise, you're not going to get anywhere in living purely in an impure world. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. Romans Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. These 5 points here are applying to someone who wants to live purely in an impure world. They also apply to someone who hasn't been living purely in an impure world and has a bag of wreckages carrying along behind him. The Bible says there in verse 2, you can be renewed, the renewing of your mind, all right, through the word of God. The surrender is the second one, and it's been a big thing in my life. You won't get any further in living purely in an impure world unless your life is totally and wholly surrendered to God so that He can work in your life and have freedom in your life. Now, a lot of these points you'll notice, they overlap each other. A lot of these 6 points I've got here overlap each other and work together as a whole to give victory and to live purely in an impure world. Third point I've got here is scripture memorization. Psalm 119 verse 9 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Yeah. And at 26, I realise and understand, though I haven't arrived at it, and I should have memorised a lot more scripture than I have. But I understand someone is not, I don't believe the Lord is going to give victory to someone in their life, in a particular instance, through the Holy Spirit and give them real victory unless they put some time memorising scripture verses. Unless they know why from the word of God it's wrong. Young men, Psalm 101 verse 3 says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside, it shall not cleave to me. Psalm 119 verse 11 says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Philippians 4:8, find out, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and any praise, think on these things. These are some of the verses that when I grew up looking at this subject, and I began to struggle, I began to look around and think, why am I attracted to women? What's going on here? What's going on there? Look at the fields, look at the way the world's portraying immorality. It looks so good. Yeah. And I had to come back and hide some of these verses in my heart. There's many more I've got here. Galatians 5:16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfil the lust of the flesh. Romans 13:14 says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh, to fulfil the lusts thereof. And I don't say those verses to say, look at me, look what I've memorised, because when I was looking at this list, I thought, 26, I should learn a lot more of these verses. I had to go over some of these and get them back in my mind. I should learn a lot more by now. If you're going out to war, you need to take ammunition. I've heard pastors say this over and over again to different people. If you're going to go out to war and you've got your gun, you need to have some ammunition to put into it. It's no use rocking up there on the enemy lines and ready to fire some shots and you've got no ammunition there. You've got nothing. If you're going to live purely in an impure world, if you've got a load of baggage you're carrying along behind because you haven't been living purely, then you need to get some scripture verses under your belt. This doesn't just apply to immorality, this applies to other things in the world too. You've got a problem with drinking, you've got a problem with smoking, you've got a problem with gambling, you've got a problem with all these things that are addictive. Get some scripture verses under your belt. Find out why it's wrong according to the Bible, and that's what is powerful. Psalm 119 verse 9, where's a man going to cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. That's what it's about. That has been very powerful in my life. And that's what I want to share it with the other young men here, the young women, and everyone. If you haven't learned that by now, learn it. You need to hide scripture in your heart. Those areas in your life that you're struggling with, come back to the word of God. Get on your face before God and say, God, I'm ignorant of this particular subject in the Bible. I don't know what your word says about it. I'm confused. I'm doing the wrong thing. And then get into the word of God, pray about it, and let him show you some verse in there, and then hide them in your heart. Third point I've got here is walk in the Spirit. We looked at seeing, understanding, inside of marriage, sacred, outside of marriage, sin. We looked at surrendering to God, or get saved if you haven't even got saved in the first place. Scripture, and now the Spirit. Galatians 5:16. I will remember till the day I die, as clearly as ever, this verse that our pastor gave this verse to me. I went to pastor for some counselling about this very issue. The pastor said to me, you know, pastor, in his cool, calm, collected way, Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfil the lust of the flesh. That is your answer. I struggled with that. Let me tell you, I went away and said, just give me a verse, Galatians 5:16. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfil the lust of the flesh. It's not, it says it, but what practical goodness is that to me? But that's the answer. Galatians 5:16. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfil the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Yeah. Ephesians 5:18 says, be filled with the Spirit. In order to be filled with something, you must be emptied of whatever was in there before. Galatians 5:18, we said it just there, just said it just a minute ago. You must be led by the Spirit, and by the Spirit alone. Be controlled not by the flesh and its desires and drives, but by God, the Holy Spirit. I was reading a bit of a book, and a guy gave an example in there about being filled with the Spirit. And a man had a big 44-gallon drum or a big timber barrel of some description, and he was scrubbing it out with a long-handled brush. And I think it was the grandfather, and the son said to him, why are you doing this? He said, oh, grandma loves to wash the clothes in rainwater. And even though it wasn't raining, he scrubbed out this brush and he placed it strategically underneath the gutter of the house or the downpipe or whatever. A couple of days later, it rained. It didn't take long, you know, a matter of a few minutes or an hour or so, and the whole barrel had been filled to overflowing. The principle, the idea is that he had prepared himself for the filling of the Holy Spirit. And I just thought that was interesting, that we got to empty, as we concentrate on emptying our lives out of the filth and the garbage and scrubbing it clean, and we concentrate on being prepared and looking forward to the filling of the Holy Spirit. The Lord can then come in our lives and fill up like that barrel of water, and then go on to, in a victorious Christian life, leading us and filling us with the Holy Spirit. Now, as I grew up, I struggled with this too. Be filled with the Spirit. What does it really mean to be filled with the Spirit? You know, to me, it was always some, a couple of books I'd read, it was always some out of space, sort of a warm, fuzzy, floating feeling or something just unbelievable. The Holy Spirit would just come and just grab hold of a person, and they would just, you know, just, to me, I always felt I was just arrogant then, because they were full of the Holy Spirit and so proud. And I'm a learner preacher, so I don't want to oversimplify this, but my understanding and in my experience, be not removed from the simplicity which we have in Christ. The person will prepare yourself, surrender and serve God, and deal with one sin at a time as God puts his finger on them in your life, and be led by him as he speaks to you through conscience. It's only a matter of time before you will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Be led by the Spirit. The Spirit of God says you need to surrender this part of your life. You need to give it up, Seth. You need to give up that hope or that dream or whatever. You need to give it up. You need to be willing to be under the control of the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit says, Seth, you need to put another verse under your belt. You need to spend some more time memorising your scripture. Then you need to do it. If the Holy Spirit says, Seth, don't go there. That's not going to be good, living purely in an impure world. Go on out of that place. Go around the block or go around the corner or go back home or get someone else to go with you or whatever it is. If the Holy Spirit says that, then we need to be awake and ready and respond to that. 5. Starve the flesh. Romans 13:14. The flesh, hey? The three enemies that we have: the world, the flesh, and the devil. Sometimes the devil gets blamed for more things than he does. Starve the flesh. In Romans 13:14. It says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. This one here, in my life growing up, and trying to keep myself pure, and trying to live purely in an impure world, has been one of the hardest points, if you want to put it that way, for me to follow. It has also been the most practical for me, personally, and it's been the most rewarding. The word provision there means supply. So to make no provision means to cut off the supply lines. The house next door to mine was repossessed by the bank. And they've gone to put it on auction, put the house on auction, so the bank get their money back. So I was standing out there one day and I looked, and there's one plant just across, there's my driveway, cream gravel driveway, then there's a concrete boarded running through, and there's two plants there. One fairly big and one was just a little one, about yay high, little bush sticking out of the ground. And I looked at them, I said, those plants are too far apart. It looked like one had died in the middle. It was too far apart. It didn't look right. So I said, no one lives there. I'm only making it look better for me and better for the neighbours. So I went over one morning and I ripped the plant out, dug a hole a little bit further on, and replanted it where it looked better. Well, yeah, that's good. But I didn't bother watering it. I thought, oh, it'll be right. A few days later, I think I remembered. And so for about 2 weeks straight now, I reckon 10 days, 2 weeks straight, every day, I've watered it. And when the first time I walked over, I watered it, I thought, there is no hope for this plant. It is dead. And after two weeks, no different. It's dead. And that just reminded me, I cut off the supply lines of that poor plant. I mean, I dug the hole with my hand. I just couldn't be bothered. I just pulled aside the gravel, you know. I've got a real good green thumb. I hate plants, I hate maintenance, I hate it all. Right, fake lawn is good. And I just pulled apart the gravel with my hands and I dug a little hole past it. I mean, it was all against all the rules of transplantation. It just was all wrong. And I sort of squished it in there, put a bit of dirt back, put the gravel back over, boom. But I watered it. But it was a little bit too late. And this thing is dead. I mean, if it comes back, it's only still exception to the rule, only still proves the rule. If you do not feed the flesh, it will die. Right? But if you leave it for enough and then you water it enough, it might come back again. Same principle. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and don't make provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. 1 Timothy 2:22, flee youthful lusts. This is going to vary from person to person. It's going to be different from a girl maybe to a boy. I can't think of a lot of practical examples for girls because I'm not a girl. Spoken to my wife, but there's a lot of practical examples for guys. Guys can be by himself, and he's thinking, oh, yeah, I'm cruising along, finish my job for the day, whatever, and I'll go by the beach on a nice warm day, or I'll go wander through the servo and might look at the lollies over near the magazine rack, or whatever. 2 Timothy 2:22, flee youthful lust. Get out of there. Don't make any provision for the flesh. None. And look, this varies. There's all sorts. This is going to vary from one person to the other. Me with jogging. I've been out jogging and there's been pornography magazines lying on the side of the road. I've been out jogging sometimes and I reckon it was probably just an IGA food brochure. But I changed my route. I wouldn't jog there anymore. Why? Don't make any provision for the flesh. Don't just cut off the supply lines. Like that plant, just let it die and wither. And this has been the most practical for me. Maybe it's a phone call to my wife. Maybe it's an SMS to someone. Being accountable. It's on and on. Remember, look here. What have I got here? Reading, looking at certain books or advertising material. Be careful. I'll give you an example of something that is not. It's not about immorality. It's nothing immoral. But it was something I shared with in the morning class about combi vans, about Volkswagen Combi Beetles. Now, they've never been anything to me. They've just never meant anything to me. Until one day, randomly, out of nowhere, I suddenly got this passion to get a combi van. Now, if you own a combi van, there's nothing wrong with combi vans. Unless the Lord deals with you like he dealt with me, I'm just giving you this for an illustration, okay? And so I began to think about a combi van. I thought, a combi van would be good because that fits in. I want to travel. I want to travel, and that would be great because, you see, the thing is the budget. I mean, you can't just go buy $30,000 travel van, deck it out with a mattress, and I can fit Kyle on. I make a little bunk for Kyle, I've got it all sorted. Teresa, I have a mattress, we can just pull up, we'll have everything decked out in this combi van, we'll just plug it into the wall, and away we go. We can travel, we'll do Canberra first, we've got to do that. And so this has been in my mind, I want to travel, I want to get around, and Raffles are crazy. For some reason, Raffles always like buying old things and doing them up. We always do that, it's just in our blood. Oh man, when we get to heaven, I don't know what's going to happen. Got to get out of our system. But somehow, Raffles, and especially, I have some people have crazy eyes, I have crazy desires. I have this thing about polishing metal. Chrome. I love to get something old, and that's got potential. That's aluminium underneath, or that's stainless steel. Boom, polish the whole thing up. So it's just something within me. I had this idea about this combi van, and had a bit of a unique idea about doing something that's going to be outstanding. And the fact is with combi vans, if you really do it right, you can make money on them, which you can never make money on combi vans, can you, Dad? You don't make money on any cars, but anyway. I had it all worked out, had it all planned. And so it began to grow. It just started small, and it was nothing, and it just began to grow. And I just started, it started becoming a bit of a fairly big thing, you know. I thought, oh, this combi van around here somewhere, because I got it all worked out. Raffles sort of work everything out in their mind, get it all happening. And so I'd drive to the Portland store, for example, to do a delivery, and they'd be looking around. There's an old paddock somewhere here. There was a paddock here somewhere with a combi van, because the 1958 one, they are the ones that are worth a packet. I mean, you buy one if it's complete. You start at 10 grand. But if I find one behind a tree somewhere and I do this and do that, I'm going to make a fortune out of it. And on and on and on and on. So this started, and get a 75 because they got air conditioning. They got the 2.2 litre. And started thinking about this. And at work, they have, the Just Cars magazine, it's pretty clean, and I was flipping through there going, oh, there's got to be, oh, here's a combi van, here's this, finding information. It started just going crazy, and sometimes I'll just stop and I'll just think, how stupid is this? What in the world do I want a combi van for? Why have I got this driving passion for a stupid, they're not even shaped right, anyway, this combi van. And so it began to be, it went over the top. The devil just started pumping it and just using it, just blowing this big thing up. This is what I've got to get. I need one for spare parts too, because the one I do up and, oh, just unbelievable. And when I build a new house, I need to have a man sheet so I can put this combi van to do it up. And just you wouldn't believe it. And then holidays for the camp would, you know, I'd be better careful where I take holidays, because I've got so much annual leave, and the annual leave depends on when I'm travelling. And it started just going, just blowing out of proportion. And you laugh, but I'm just using this for an example. And I got to the point where I just said, this is just ridiculous. And I went to my wife one night. I said, this is just ridiculous. I said, this is the truth. This is it. I said, you got to help me. You got to help me get rid of this thing. I said, combi vans. It's out of control, you know? You like that, wouldn't you, Pastor? Out of control. It was. It was starting. It was almost out of control, almost. And so, as a result, right, the devil was using this for a lot of reasons. A lot of reasons, right? The devil was using this for my goals, for the future, for travelling, for doing this, right? Getting preoccupied with other things. The devil was using this for, you know, just the fact that, you know, getting out and witnessing, or getting out and people, I felt a little bit like Pastor this morning, just get rid of people, just go in my own garage with my own combi, and just, you know, pot it away for hours on end, polishing rusty metal, you know, and so I said, well, this is ridiculous, I'm throwing this whole thing in the trash. This includes the idea of traveling. I said, just give that up too, with a whole lot, give up, you know. They're just concentrating on what we're doing here and now. For once in my life, I've got my house finished. I've got a bit of spare time on my hands. It's not run off doing some other crazy thing. But as a result, I nailed some things straight down to my wife. I said, anything at combi vans, it's out. That's it. Forget it. I mean, I had a combi van screensaver on my phone. You know, it was all happening. It wasn't there for long, but I had it. So I deleted that. I deleted any photos I had in my combi van. And now, for me, I don't even look at combi vans. When I go down the street, I drive down the street like this, I see combi van, and just do. And it sounds so ridiculous, and I realise it's funny, and I said, look, what a stupid thing to get hold of a 26-year-old Aussie male to think he likes combi vans. But anyway, there's nothing wrong with combi vans, don't get me wrong. But for me, it was a problem. The devil was just blowing it right out of proportion, was using it. But now I don't even make any provision for combi vans. Forget it. I don't look through the Just Cars magazine for combi vans. I don't go, there was a mechanics that had an orange one on Sturt Street that I used to look every time I passed. I wonder what year that is. I wonder where it's got the common problem with rust. I wonder what wheels they're going to put on it. I wonder what they're working on it, you know. Finding out information to get it. I don't even look at the combi van. Don't even look there. Don't even go there. Make no provision for the flesh. And you say, do you have any desire to travel? Zilch. Zilcheroonie. Do you have any desire to have a combi van? Man, I'd hate to have a combi van. What do I want a combi van for? And I'm delivered from it, as it were. But the principle is here, okay? Because some people, and a lot of people in life, get hooked with some of these things in the world that are immoral and that are wrong. And it starts out with a little peep here, and it starts out with a little bit of excitement there, and it starts out with, it's got to be good, or she's just marvellous, or whatever. And before it grows, and it grows, and it grows, and before you know it, that's all they're thinking about the whole time. And they're looking through books, getting information about it. And they're asking people about information for it. And when they're driving on, they're looking for it. And it starts to consume them. And then they've got themselves in a problem. And they're going to have to do the same thing. Romans 13, 14, they're going to have to start putting some rules down and making no provision for the flesh. They're going to have to cut off the supply lines and starve the flesh. Everyone will be different. For some of you guys down here, you look at a combi van, you wouldn't even see it was there. All right, for an example, okay? Same thing. A group of guys can drive along in a car, right? And they can see some hard-clad lady walking down the street. And they, if they're good, godly Christian guys, they won't go for the second look and they'll look away. And they'll get out of there. Whereas if a bunch of girls are driving down the same street, they'll be like, look at that girl's handbag. As if you'd have a green handbag like that. Okay? So you see what I'm saying? Different people, different things. The Spirit of God is going to talk to different people in different ways. And I might have to starve the flesh in a different way to someone else, okay? Number 6, share. Share the burden. Galatians 6, verse 2. Let's have a look there. These are some things that have been real in my life, my personal life, as I've been growing up. And it's not always a subject you go running around talking with all your mates about or talking with everyone about. But I worked through some of these things, and there were just 6 points that, by God's grace, if anyone else would be struggling in these areas, that they would come through. And these 6 points aren't just eating a bit more. I backed them up with scripture. There are other things we haven't talked about. The old man being crucified with him and picturing yourself dead, and there's different, you know, different other points and different things like that. This last one, share burdens, all right? If you got yourself in a heap of baggage and you've got yourself in a bit of a mess and you can't seem to pull yourself out by your own bootstrings and you come before God and see what he wants you to see, surrender what he wants you to surrender, get some scripture in you, start walking in the Spirit and start starving the flesh. It may be you'd have to go on to this one too, in Galatians 6:2, and share your burden with someone else. This is very powerful, because this is one of the laws of Christ. Galatians 6:2, starting in verse 1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfil the law of Christ. Maybe you need to be accountable to someone. Maybe you need to go to someone and share a burden. Now be careful. Guys, don't go run off and telling the girls your problems that are personal. Amen. And vice versa. Get a man for a man, a girl for a girl, preferably get someone older to help you out, alright? Preferably someone who you can trust. Someone who maybe you know struggled with the same thing. The Bible says, and we looked at it yesterday, two is better than one. In Ecclesiastes 4, 9 and 10. It talks about if one falls down, then the other one can help him back up again. But woe to that man if he's there by himself and he falls down. Be accountable to someone. Share your burden with someone. Maybe the Lord will touch your life and touch your heart about seeing a particular person that you can trust, and go to them and say, look, can I have a talk with you? I've got this issue I'm trying to work through. I need to be accountable. I keep falling down. I'm struggling. I'm trying to put the biblical principles into place. I'm trying to walk in the Spirit. I'm trying to starve the flesh and not give no provision for the flesh, but I'm still struggling. I need an extra hand. That is so powerful. That can be so powerful. For people in this church here to bear one another's burdens, it's a law of Christ. And if we can do that, that is so powerful. It's always better than one in helping to pull someone up. Maybe you make a particular time, maybe a text, maybe a phone call. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. These are just some practical steps that have been a help in my life and that have been a reality in my life. And like I said to the Lord before, I haven't arrived in this area. I'm still struggling with these things. And young men, you get older, you still struggle with these things. Young ladies, you don't get married and suddenly everything changes and you're just a perfect person. It doesn't happen. You still struggle with these things. It still goes on. And the older men here are still struggling with some of the things that the younger men struggled with. The older ladies, likewise. We must continue to renew these things and continue to follow the principles found in the Scripture. Just one more thing. In Galatians 6:1 there. Just to remind myself and to remind others, giving advice and helping other people out who will come to us with a fault, will come to us with a problem, they're asking for help. Remember the Bible says there to consider thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And I do that.